welcome everyone back to Authors on the Air. I've been off for 8 weeks on medical leave, and I'm so excited that my first guest when I come back is the wonderful Sonia Sotra, who those of you who are soap opera fans know her gorgeous face from Guiding Light and One Life to Live. She's done Netflix, she's done stage, she's done all kinds of things. But I think that her most important thing that she's doing right now is as a mindset and fitness thought leader. She specializes in personal transformation by integrating mind, body, spirit, emotion, and that combined creates a lasting change. And it's particularly for women, but it can be for men too. At least that's how I read the book. Sonia's book is called What If It Were Easy? And it's a really interesting title, especially considering where it came from. Sonia, welcome.
Thank you so much. What a great intro. I appreciate it.
I'm so glad that you're here. This book is fascinating to me. So you use mindset and movement to create success in life and love and career. I'd like to know, where did this come from? Because you were, for all intents and purposes, an actor for many, many years. You've had tens of thousands of on-air and stage time and everything. Mm-hmm. Was this always in your wheelhouse?
So yes and no, I think. I think I've always enjoyed personal development, self-improvement books. You know, I remember when I was in high school and the guidance counselor would be, if you walked into a library or a bookstore, what section would you go to? And for me, it actually was always personal development, but I didn't really know what to do with it. I didn't, at the time, I wasn't thinking speaking, coaching wasn't really a thing. And so, you know, I went to college, I was a communications major, pretty vague. And it was during that time when I really got into acting, and then I headed to LA and to pursue that dream. And so that took me on a different tangent. But when I was acting, I studied mindset a lot because you get rejected a lot in that industry. And I could tell that the people who really thrived and really sustained in that career were people who had strong mindsets. They were somehow able to fail time and time again and still get back up and believe like, well, of course, the next role's mine. That just wasn't meant to be, you know? And I was like, how do you do that? And so I really started to study mindset as much, if not more, I think, than acting. And it worked. And it helped. And it truly transformed my life. And it kept me working, which was tough in that industry.
Well, in your industry first, as an actor, and now as a coach, I think you have to have a certain amount of dedication to both of those for it to be mm-hmm. successful. And part Absolutely. Of that is mindset, correct?
Yes, definitely. For sure, that's a piece of the mindset. You have to decide. You've got to decide, and then you have to commit, and then you have to keep going. I feel like those are, you have to persist. And those are all key things. And then I think integrated into all those three things is the belief and the positive expectancy that things can prevail and that you are good enough and that you do have what it takes and that even if things don't work out this time, the other one is right around the corner. And so I think it's all of that is mindset.
Sure. The power of positive thinking. I mean, that goes back to when my father first started in sales and he used to teach his salesmen about positive thinking and all and, you know, work ethic and all that. I think they're all integrated, don't you think?
Oh, 100%. My first thing outside, like once it became more of a job, was Dale Carnegie. I bet you your dad did Dale Carnegie.
Me too. Yes. Think and Grow Rich and all of those, right? Yes.
Right. I mean, they're classics because they still work. They still work. Yeah.
So interesting. So I started to put sticky notes in all the things I wanted to talk to you about. And then I thought, oh, we'll be here for 4 hours. I'd read the book to you.
Well, you know, I got time.
So I have some really easy questions to begin with, because I'm so tickled by the title of the book and how it came about. Will you tell the audience What If It Were Easy's origins?
Sure, absolutely. Great. So I had just had my daughter. So she was 6 months old. I had also just gotten my coaching certification, because during the time that I was off, or really off because I was pregnant and there weren't a lot of roles for pregnant people, I decided to get certified as a coach. And so I wasn't really working a lot. I was a mom and I was, you know, trying to figure out next steps in the coaching world and just getting back into the acting. And my husband had, he worked in entertainment as well, and he had what they called a first look deal. So he was basically being paid for ideas to come up with shows or things like that. And he had a business partner who was in California. We were in New York, and the company, he had finished his first year contract, and they were like, we'd love for you to come out. We want to have a meeting. We just figured this was a formality. Yay, let's go out, sign a new contract, celebrate, and come back home. And so we go out there, and I have my daughter, and we're sitting in the car waiting for him. We're actually at like the bottom floor of a big building on Sunset Boulevard. And he comes out and he looks like he just saw a ghost. And I was like, what happened? And he was just like, I'm fired. And I was like, oh my gosh, that was not part of the plan.
Right.
At all. And I, well, okay. And he's just like, they're not renewing the contract. And then he panicked and he just went into full blown panic mode of, oh my God, this is terrible. This is a disaster. That's one of his classic things. It's a disaster. We have a brand new baby. You're not really working right now. Like, what are we gonna do? And I don't know whether it was just his family history or the artist in him, but he somewhere had inside his brain this belief that if we had $1 million, somehow we would be okay, right? A little arbitrary, but he was just like, this is impossible. What am I going to do? And I'm like, well, it's not impossible. Somebody's made it, so you can too. And he's like, no, it's not. It's impossible. And it's really impossible to make $1 million. And I was like, again, well, we can think of other people who've done it. What have they done? And he's like, it's impossible. You know this business. Like, well, and I'm thinking, my coaching brain is like, think of something, Sonia, do something, you know? And all of a sudden it just blurted out of my mouth, well, what if it were easy? What would you do? And he was like, easy. And he looked at me and he's like, you've been in this industry. You know, it's not easy. I'm like, I know, but what if it were easy? What would you do? And then he kind of took it in for a second and then he started laughing and he's like, I don't know. I guess I'd start my own company. That's what I would do, almost sarcastically. I was like, really? Because that had never been any of the ideas on the table at all. It was, you know, what are the writing job or I'll get a job, any of these things. And I was like, well, what if you did do that? I went down that road of trying to figure that out. He called up a friend. The next day he started his own business. And a year later.
The next day.
Yes.
I love that.
He doesn't waste time. He does move quickly. To his credit, he goes. And a year later, he made $1 million.
What an affirmation of how you have to have the mindset. That's it exactly. You have to have the mindset. You got to be ready.
Go ahead.
No, you say.
Yeah, and when you open it up, I think that's the beauty of that question, is it suddenly takes away all the blocks, right? And it's like, well, if it were easy, then I would do this. And generally, that is what it is you really would want to do. It gives you permission. It comes from your heart, not from your head that's got all the millions of reasons why you can't do it. And that's why it's so effective.
Well, I guess there's that, the old adage that when one door closes, another one opens. And if you're looking at it and saying, well, it's easy to open the door, you know, it's not that hard, or you open the window. So it's all the same thing. I think we know these things. We've just forgotten them because, things are difficult now. There's a lot of competition. There's a lot of stimuli out there. So it makes sense that it's hard to stay right there, focused where you need to stay. So the thing I like about your book is that I can just look in the list of chapters and kind of it's a great summary for what this book is about. Now, I'm not going to go through all the chapters, but I do want to first ask you about your signature program called Motisize. So it's motivational exercise for your body and your spirit and your brain and your soul. Is that correct in a nutshell?
It is correct. Exactly. And it really did come. And when I look back, you know, when you say, I can hear the dog coming. When you say, you know, was it something you always wanted to do? I can look back in time and see where I used this. And my mom always used to say, oh, well, hello. Would you like to say hello?
Good. Today? Yes.
Sadie,
come who here, have we got?
Sadie, come here.
You got to turn it back on. You muted yourself.
Thank you. I did not mean to. That was an accident.
That's okay. Sadie's obviously happy to see you. Did she get her treat?
Not yet. Here we go, Sadie. You want to say hello? Sadie.
Aww. Oh, she's adorable.
My little fluff dog. She's a Wheaton Terrier.
Adorable. She's adorable. She's adorable. So you didn't realize you were making a phrase that you'd been saying all along, that kind of became your trademark phrase.
Or that I had been doing all along. And, you know, my mom, back when I was a teen, I was really into fitness. I always worked out. That was something that I always really liked to do. It was sort of my happy place. I would go do it to really figure out problems therein lies. Like, I was already doing it before I actually ever knew what it was. And she used to say to me, you know, if you used your mind as much as your body, you'd be a very well-balanced person. And I joke with her now because I'm like, well, there you go, Mom. I took your words of advice and I combined the two equally.
There you go. You did.
I did, right? So
amazing.
But back when I was acting, there were, in between soap operas, after I had done Guiding Light, I left on my own free will, a really great job, because I thought, well, maybe there's some other character I could play. And I wasn't married, didn't have kids at the time. And I thought this is a good time to leave. But when I left, I suddenly had that imposter syndrome. I was like, what did you do? Who are you to quit a great job? You know, 6,000 people auditioned for the role that I got. It's just insane. I don't know how anybody gets a job, but like, how could you give that up and go back and be rejected again? What were you thinking? And so I started to really get into my brain and into my body. And I really embodied that belief of I was never going to work again. That was a fluke. I was lucky once. You don't get lucky twice like that, you know? And it started to permeate every part of my life, really. My relationship at the time started to fall apart. I was hanging out with other people who were, you know, drinking and complaining about how they were never going to work again, how hard the business was. I was not really taking care of myself. I was still auditioning, but even the auditions I would go into with the belief that it wasn't going to work out. And a year and a half later, I hadn't worked. And now suddenly I was, you know, spending, I had gone through my savings and there I was up on this bluff, turtle sitting, how glamorous. And I was overlooking the ocean and it was really a big aha for me. And I thought, wow, I've used the same mindset tools to create success as I am now using to create failure. And that was that first moment when I realized, when I first got out to California, I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I didn't have a lot of experience. I didn't even know it was a business. And, you know, but I just had this belief, someone made it, why couldn't I? And I would ask questions every day, like, what can I do? Who could I reach out to? How can I make this dream happen? I would visualize my success. And I would do positive affirmations. So I used all of those mindset tools, those classic mindset tools, and they worked. But now I was doing the opposite. Like, I was asking questions, but instead of like, what can I do? It was, why won't anyone hire me? You know, right. And I was visualizing failure instead of success. And all of my self-talk was negative, all of it. And I was getting those results. So I was taking action, but the real results were a direct correlation of that mindset that I had. And that was when I thought, wow, I got to change this. And could I change it? Could I actually turn things around? And that's when I decided I was going to go run in this canyon in Santa Monica. I lived in Santa Monica, and I was going to do all this mindset stuff. So I wanted to get back in shape, and I was going to run, and I was going to visualize, and I was going to ask these questions. I even did this thing. I sometimes share this up on the top of a mountain. I realized that if you yell, it would echo back. So I would start to yell out what I wanted to hear. So I would yell
That's
out.
Great.
You got the job. And it would echo back, you got the job.
I love that. What a great thing to do, though.
It was. And I would celebrate it, right, as if it had happened. So I was really incorporating, getting everything into my mind, into my body. 3 weeks later, I booked a national commercial. Mind you, I hadn't worked for a year and a half. Now, 3 weeks later, national commercial. 3 months later, running down that same path, doing that stuff, I booked the role of psycho nurse Barbara. I got the call. You got the job. Actually, those were my manager's words. So it was such an amazing, sort of realization of how powerful we really can be and how this combination can be very powerful. Yes. So flash forward, I was pregnant. I just had my son, and I was a new mom. I had a daughter, my son, my husband was working around the clock now at his business. Right. And I wasn't really doing the mindset stuff like I knew I should be doing because it worked. And I just thought, wouldn't it be great if I could combine them? That's efficient, you know, anything that's fast and efficient.
Sure.
And it was really one day when I was on a treadmill and I was watching, you know, the TVs that are blaring bad stuff at you. And I just thought, gosh, wouldn't it be great if somebody could just guide me through like a question, you know, a series of questions, and I could really imagine and visualize and do all these things and just be prompted while I'm working out. That would just make it really easier. and then I was like, well, what if I did that? What if I created that? And then I even came up with the title Motorcize, and I'm writing it in my phone, and I'd run, and then I'd come up with something else, I'd run. And then I stuck it in a drawer because it seemed like a crazy idea. And
putting up a roadblock again, huh?
Yep, there it goes. And then a couple months later, I was working on another project, and I mentioned it to a girl who was helping me. And I was like, yeah, I came up with this idea. And she's like, wait a second, that sounds awesome. What? How does this work? You know? And I told my husband, he's like, I want to try this. And so we kind of started to figure out what is this, you know, and what were the questions, what was the order, what was the goal, what are we trying to achieve? And at the time, all of this brain science was just popping. There's an amazing book called Spark. John Rady wrote it. And it really is about the science of the brain on exercise. I go into some of it in my book, but he really goes in very deep depth. And it was just showing how great it is, how much more creative, how more focused, how you make better decisions, how you gain clarity, how it taps the exact part of your brain that is motivating, how it increases your moods. We know the endorphins all make us feel better. So all of this is happening when you move, and all of that supercharges that process towards a goal. So it's really harnessing the move. I usually, you know, at first I thought, oh, this is a fitness program, I'm going to change fitness. And I'm not changing fitness, because what I realized was some fitness people don't care about the mindset. They really just want to get fit, right? And that's fine. That's totally fine.
It's one facet of what your program is about.
And what I saw, one, right, was the mindset people were ready to move. And so it's really the working out, and that's evolved over time too, is the vehicle through which you do the mindset process and you really change. But the exercise does energetically, and if you want to add a little more woo to it, it really does help you. I've really almost renamed it manifestation through movement now, because people manifest things so fast. In fact, I just had a friend, he bought the book and he called me a week later. He's like, I've been reading your book and doing the exercises. And oh my God, I just booked an acting job and they had just had the strike. And it was actually probably one of the last SAG waiver things before the strike ended. Wow. And it just popped up. I'm like,
wow. There
you go. There you go.
There is a lot of it. It's so funny that you're focusing on it now. Like I say, we talk about Dale Carnegie and, you know, all of those gentlemen from the past who really were onto it, and it kind of got tossed to the wayside for kind of junk science, I think. Mm-hmm. And you know, people were using pills and bariatric surgery to get healthy, and you know, their brain wasn't staying up with their bodies and everything. And you know, we're connected in every single way, and so why not use your brain and your body to put yourself in a positive light and to feel better about your life and to make better choices in your life. I will say that having been on medical leave, I was supposed to be on for 9 weeks, for 7 weeks, has been the worst thing that's ever happened to me. Mm-hmm. I've not been able to talk on, you know, to wonderful people like you. I've not been able to go out the way I wanted to. And so when we switched over your podcast to my show, and I thought, I've got to read her book. And so I spent the weekend reading the book. I have a little sticky notes all throughout this book. And I'm saying, see, Sonia understands why I can't stay two more weeks on medical leave. I got to get back to doing something. My brain and my heart are rotting, you know. My body will catch up later on.
Well, you could do some little things. You could just do a little bit here and there, just a little.
My thing now is to hold on to the grocery cart and cruise up and down the aisles in Walmart. I mean,
oh,
I can
I
tell
love
you where
it.
Everything is in Walmart. It's a huge superstore. So I just walk up and down, tell me what you want in the automotive section. I know where it is. But if you do that and you're saying hello to people, and I'm naturally a chatty person, you won't find a shy bone in my body. But, you know, you're saying good morning and hi, how are you? And I know the store manager, he's a young, nice guy, and it makes it all just a pleasant thing, you know?
Great.
So, yeah.
You could try going up one aisle with one question, and then you could come down an aisle with a second question. You could do the whole motorized process while walking through.
Absolutely could. Although I have to tell you, I don't read with my glasses and I have to walk with my glasses. So I'd be like this the whole time. But when you're in audio, that's what I'll do.
That's right. Then you'll do it.
Then I'll do it. I'll be walking all over saying, oh, okay, this is what I have to do next, and so on and so forth. It's this is truly a fun book. I want to talk to you a little bit about you and your life. Tell me about what it was like growing up as Sonia.
Oh, wow. Growing up as me. What can I say? You know, I grew up in a very sort of intellectual family. We were joking because you said that you didn't really watch TV, and neither did we, because my mom was a professor, and my dad, even though he left when I was very young, he was also, he had like, I don't know, 5 doctorates and spoke 7 different languages fluently. Very, very smart, intellectual man. My oldest sister went to med school. The other one went to engineering school. So I was definitely the black sheep, you know, but
you were just the one on the creative side.
There you have it. That's what I like to think of it. But we didn't have a lot of TV. My husband always jokes. He's like, I don't know how you ever got into entertainment because you know nothing about pop culture. And it's sad, but it's true. We didn't have a TV till I was 8. And then I was really not, it was pretty heavily controlled. It was not something that I watched a lot. So it is weird that I ended up in acting, but
Do you have other creative pursuits when you were growing up? I mean, you said you liked to play and you were active and everything else, but did you like to read? Did you like to paint or color? You know, you have so much creative stuff going on in you. So it had to come from somewhere. It manifested from something.
Absolutely. I definitely had a lot. I enjoyed anything in the sort of athletic world. But I also enjoyed a lot. I did a lot of arts and crafts and stuff. I wasn't a great drawer, but I loved any other kind of arts and crafts and music. I played the flute and I taught myself guitar, and I was pretty heavily into that as well. So yeah, I was always looking for something. And even the sports I think that I did, I ice skated, you know, so there was still
creative.
It is a bit more of a creative sport than some of the others. But yeah, so but my mom was very active. She's good old Norwegian blood, you know. We all had to get out there, and we were hiking at a very young age, and skiing too, but hiking. I love hiking. That's a bit of a passion of mine. And I know that came from my mother, because we hiked little hikes, and then we hiked the highest mountain in the Appalachian and the, And then she started to work in the White Mountains, and I would meet her there. So we worked there, and
beautiful, we hiked up there. Yeah.
Beautiful. And then my sister and I hiked Mount Whitney, which is the highest in continental U.S. And then my mom and I hiked the highest in Galapagos and Glitterton, which is the first and third highest in Norway. And then a couple years ago, my big desire was to hike Kilimanjaro, and I got to do that. Yes, I came back. A friend of mine it was a big birthday, and she was like, you got to have a party. And I'm thinking, oh my God, what can I do so I don't have to have a party?
Just hike, you know, one of the tallest mountains.
Exactly. And I was like, I always wanted to do that. So I did. I came back to my husband. I'm like, can I hike Kilimanjaro? And he's like, do I have to do it?
I think I would love your husband.
And then he's like, okay, you should do it. So my sister.
Have fun, lady.
Exactly. Send me pictures. But I actually used Motisize on it, because on day six, we were supposed to be 8-day trek, but day six, you hike all day, then you sleep from like, I don't know, 5 until 11 at night. We didn't really sleep that much. And then they wake you up, and then you hike all night so that you make it to the top of the mountain at 6 a.m. in the morning when the sun rises. And I was so nervous because I wanted it so badly. And it's really, you know, it's altitude. You really just don't know how your body's going to react. And we were going slowly. We were doing okay. My sister was getting a bit of a cough, but we were like, well, maybe it was the dust down at the bottom. And then at 11 o'clock at night, it started snowing, like snowing hard. It doesn't snow. It was not like, this was one of those freak weather storms.
Of course it was, because this was your birthday present to yourself.
Exactly. So we hiked all night in snow, and we finally got to the top. It was a total whiteout. Couldn't see a thing. I was scraping the sign, but oh my God, I had visualized that. I literally used this process the entire 9-hour hike up to the top of the mountain. I did affirmations over and over. I kept thinking, what do I have? What do I have? Okay. What do you need? Just put one foot in front of another, right. You know,
well, congratulations. What a great thing to give you a gift to give yourself like that.
It was exciting. Yeah.
I bet. Fantastic. So then you went to college, and then you decided to go and try your hand at acting, which you knew nothing about. I love that you just said, why not? I think I'll go give this a try. <You know?
laughs> Well, I should probably say I had a little taste of it before. I was playing tennis with my mom, and that was when my senior year of high school, and this guy saw me, and he asked if I would be interested in doing a local hair ad. And I was like, you know, 16-year-old, free shampoo. Sure. Why not?
Free shampoo.
That was it. And we didn't have a lot of money growing up. So, you know, it was getting my hair cut.
You're right. I think the same thing.
In a fancy salon. I was like, right. Definitely.
So, oh my God.
I did that and it was really fun. I really enjoyed it. It was just a cool experience and cool photos. And then I got to college and, you know, I didn't have free shampoo. So I had to go work in the dining hall and do stuff right. like that just to make money. And I thought, well, what else could I do? I wonder if I could get some part-time modeling work just to get me through college. And so at the time, you know, we didn't have the internet at the time. So I looked in the back of the New York Times Help Wanted pages for models. Not what you should do. But yeah, because every like scam in the book is back there. And so I found one scam and my mom came with me on that. And yeah, sure enough, it was like, give us $10,000. We'll make you a star. And yeah. We did not have $10,000, nor was she going to do this. But right. That was the beginning of me kind of admitting maybe to the world that maybe there was some interest in this and that I maybe wanted to pursue it a little further. So my mom, I love my mom. She really, I think she thought it was a whim, but she was going to go along with it for, you know, sure, why not? And so through a friend of a friend of a friend of hers, I ended up at an agency that did not do modeling, but they sent me to a children's agency and they did commercials. And so I was there with my little portfolio and they had me read a script, not having watched a ton of TV. I was just like, sure, I can do this. Totally winging it. And I guess I was winging it well enough because they were like, this is good. You want to go out? And I got lucky. I really got lucky. It was, I booked the very first commercial that I went out on. And then I became, and then the third one, and I just booked a lot. I was the fast food queen. I booked all of the fast food commercials.
Oh, that's so
I was
funny.
Like the perfect fast food girl, you know, like special orders don't upset us. I could do that really well. That's and so, funny. Yeah, not so I did.
Your, and generally not in your wheelhouse anyway, fast food, right? You're all about being healthy. So
I was, and my mom was hardcore, you know, when my friends were eating whatever Twinkies, she literally would give me home baked bread and right. kohlrabi. I got kohlrabi right. or turnip chunks oh, yeah. of turnip. That was my lunch.
Yeah. Oh, I understand.
Yes. It was not fast food. I think I had been to about two, maybe three fast food joints before that time. But when you do a commercial, you get a chance to eat a lot of fast food if you choose to do so. Especially I did a Kentucky Fried Chicken and that one I was actually I had bought the, you know, it was a person eating the chicken. So they would bring out trays of chicken for every shot. That was a bit much, but.
Oh my yeah. goodness. I want to tell you something. I have so enjoyed speaking to you today, Sonia. It's totally what I did not expect. And I'm so glad because it's been so much fun. I don't think I've laughed this hard in a long time. I want to say again, share the title of the book, What If It Were Easy? And, you know, it really isn't that hard. It's starting that's hard. But once yes. you make the decision and you change the way you think, everything else kind of falls in line. And if you don't believe me, Sonia Satra has never lied to you before, and she's not going to start now, right?
No, sorry, I'm not. It's not about a Pollyanna, everything is easy.
No.
I don't believe that, but I do believe when we ask ourselves that question, it does open our hearts to what we truly want. And I do truly believe that when you align your mind, your body, and your emotions, your soul, anything really is possible.
I think so too. Sonia, yeah. thank you so much for being with me. Where can people buy your book?
So it's available wherever books are sold.
Where can we learn more about you? What is your website?
Sellers, Barnes & Noble, Amazon.
All over.
So SONIASATRA.com. Yeah. So, and I'm also on social media. So, all of those handles.
Oh, great. Thank you so much for being with me. It's just been an honor to have you here and so much fun. I'm so glad you were my first guest when I'm coming back from my truncated medical leave.
I'm so happy too. And this is just the beginning of a happy, healthier time for you.
It really is. It really is. I mean, I'm motivated now. You know, when you consider this on the weekend, yeah, you know it. Thank you for listening, everybody, and I'll see you next time.